Well, we've had an incredible weekend so far here at Harmony. A great car show yesterday to kick off a Father's Day celebration. We continue that today. And we are thankful that you are here and you are a part of this service. Isn't it incredible to be able to sing a song like Good, Good Father and to know that we have a Heavenly Father who's absolutely incredible, always going to be there. And He's everything that He says He is. But here's a kicker for that is we can be everything that He says we can be. And that's a very incredible thing. And speaking of that, I've got a couple of recognitions that I want to go ahead and make today. And one of them is Derek Craig. You graduated with your master's degree from DePaul a couple of weeks, or just this past weekend. You weren't able to be in the service when we honored all of our graduates a couple of weeks ago, but he is here today, and he's here with his wife, Samantha, and it is their one-year anniversary, and we want to congratulate you on that graduation. We want to congratulate you on that anniversary. And I just got two words for future success, and it's yes, dear, all right? You remember that, and you are good to go. Pray for them. They are going to be moving to Houston. He's going to be working on his PhD out there, so pray for them that God will bless them. I want to ask all the dads to go ahead and stand at this time. If you're a father here this morning, I want you to go ahead and stand. We're just going to give you a round of applause and thank you for who you are. We are thankful for your presence here in this service today. And everyone on your way out, you will get a postcard that just says, Happy Father's Day. And under that, it says, I love you, Dad. There's a little blank for you to go ahead and fill in. And what we want you to do is go ahead and fill this out, if you would. Just Happy Father's Day. I love you, Dad. And then take a picture and put it out there on social media as an opportunity to go ahead and honor your father and honor his life as he's still with you, or honor his life as maybe you're looking for a reunion time with him in the future. And you can do what I did. I wrote, I love you, Dad, from your favorite. I haven't posted that yet. I put son on there, okay? I'm all right, favorite son. That's what he tells me all the time. But I would encourage you to do that just as a way to go ahead and begin to honor them in your life today. Well, we've been in a series entitled World Changers. And today we're going to talk about the perfect father. And we're not going to talk about our Heavenly Father that's the perfect father. We're going to look at a picture of what the perfect father is. Now, if we begin to go ahead and take a survey of what the perfect father might be, some of you might go ahead and have a few suggestions, but I love the way kids describe what a father is. And I think my favorite description of what a father is comes from a little girl, and here's what she says. She says, a daddy is a guy who now has pictures in his wallet of his children where his money used to be, right? That's a pretty good thing. You think about that. You used to have money, and now maybe you have a $1 bill. You know, like my wife let me have. But you got kids, right? And you got those pictures. You carry those. Well, you know, I read a statement some time ago, and it comes from Pope John the 23rd, and here's what he said. He said, it's easier for the father to have children than it is for children to have a real father. Now think about that for just a moment. It's easier for a father to have children than it is for children to have a real, genuine father. Well, today as we talk about the perfect father, as we continue this thought of world changers, we're going to open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to take a look at the picture of Joseph. Joseph was the earthly father of Jesus. And some of you are thinking, wow, if we're using him for an example, he had it easy because he had the Son of God who was perfect, right? And you think, man, it would have been easy to go ahead and be his father. Can you imagine the pressure that was there? Can you imagine the pressure that he must have felt day in and day out of taking care of the Son of God, that valued treasure? Well, can I tell you something, dads and moms and everyone? We are all valuable. We're all a priceless treasure. And as we begin to look at the life of Joseph and the incredible father that he was, we're going to discover something that's really practical. And one of the things is this: the Bible doesn't mention Joseph a lot. Do you realize that Joseph is mentioned around the birth of Christ? He's mentioned one or two times after that, but we don't see much of him or about him after that at all. We know just a few things about Joseph, and we're going to tackle those few things this morning, and we're going to discover just how important they are. So let's go ahead and take a look at Matthew chapter 1, and let's begin to discover what the Bible has to say about Joseph and this world-changing father. As we take a look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 19, it says this: "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man..." It is pretty incredible to think. The first description of Joseph in the Bible is him being a just man. It means that he was a good man. It means that he was a righteous man. It means that he had a heart for God. So Joseph, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. An incredible story as to what unfolds. It's something that's very practical, that's tucked away. And dads, I want us to get this first thing that I want to share, because it's incredibly important. And if you're young here and you're thinking about getting married one day, guys, and you want to grow up and you want to have a family, can I tell you something? This is incredibly important. Regardless of what you may have seen or not seen in your home, I want us all to get this. Here it is. And in those verses of Scripture, here's what Joseph did. Joseph honored his wife. The first character trait that I want us to get is that he honored his wife. I want you to listen to this statement given by someone that's got a name that we've never heard of. It's got a name that we wouldn't begin to relate to. We wouldn't connect. But here's what she said. She said, "The greatest thing a father can do to his children is to love their mother." Not point out flaws, not look at imperfections, not try and go ahead and fix her or make her exactly what he thinks she should be. That the statement is the greatest thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. When we begin to go ahead and look at verse number 19, it says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." Can I just give you a little backstory? Joseph and Mary are just getting started out in life, and Mary is now pregnant with child, but there's been no sexual contact. This is a pregnancy from above. This is something that's special. This is something that's absolutely unique. And Mary's going to carry this burden of, wow, I'm having the Son of God. And then Joseph is living in a day and age where when a woman was pregnant outside of marriage, it was perfectly fine for the people of her day to take her outside the gates of the city and stone her for adultery. It was perfectly fine for a husband who was a husband in waiting, as Joseph was, to go ahead and say, "You know what? I'm not going to do this. And I'm going to go in front of everyone in the town, and I'm going to make a public example of her, and I'm going to go ahead and proclaim why I am not going to have her as my wife. But the Bible describes Joseph as a man who had a heart for the things of God, and he loved God, and he loved his wife more than he loved his own self. So he was willing to put God's direction and her needs before himself. Dads, if we don't get anything else today, that right there is incredibly powerful. Why? Because your little boy is going to go ahead and he's going to grow up. And one day he might go ahead and get married. And one day he might go ahead and have his own family. And do you know who he's going to be like? You. Do you know how he's going to go ahead and treat his wife, the way he learned from you? You see, I've had hundreds of people sit in my office over a 24-year period now. Because 24 years ago today, I preached my first message as a pastor. And I've had them walk in and say, you know what, I don't want to be this way. But it's all I've seen and it's all I know. Would you help me break the cycle? I know it's not right. I know it's not the way it should be, but it's all that I know. I need help. Dads, can I encourage you today to be a cycle breaker? To go ahead and do something that we find in the life of Joseph right away. He's described as a just man. You see, this isn't a perfect father without faults and failures. This is a perfect father from an example that we begin to go ahead and pull things out of and look at his life. Did he have faults? Did he have failures? Yes. But the first thing that is said about him is this: he had a desire to go ahead and honor his wife. He had a desire to go ahead and love God more than he loved himself. You see, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25, it says this: husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and what? Gave himself for it. You see, sometimes when we think about family relationships and we think about how the family should be, we go ahead and we get a little confused and we say, man, the man's the head of the household and he's supposed to rule and he's supposed to be the king of his castle and all these kind of things. And we get things out of balance. The first things that is described is not that Joseph is the king of his castle. Matter of fact, Joseph didn't even have a castle. It doesn't go ahead and say that Joseph is this authoritarian and he's this dictator and he's going to go ahead and rule and reign and have his way. No, it says this. It says that Joseph was a just man and he loved God and he loved his wife. What greater legacy could you leave? What greater legacy could you leave than that? Some of you are in situations where you've got a split family. And split families are difficult. Blended families can be an absolute incredible struggle. But can I tell you something? Dads still honor their mother. It has a tremendous impact. It plays out in their life day in and day out. And one of the things that is described by Joseph is this. Joseph was an earthly father to Jesus, but he wasn't a biological father. He's an example of one who said, you know what? I want to go ahead and I want to love my wife where she is at, and I'm going to love that son where he is at, even though I don't get it and even though I don't understand everything. He begins to go ahead and just pour out love. I heard a statement the other day while I was driving down the road. And it's a simple statement, but it says this, and it's pretty important. And it lines right up with the life of Joseph, and it just simply says, what a man is what a man does. You see, what a man is on the inside is going to be the things that he gives himself to. What a man values on the inside, that's what he's going to go ahead and begin to value on the outside. At some point in time, what's on the inside begins to go ahead and show through our actions on the outside. And as we begin to think about Father's Day, and as we begin to go ahead and celebrate, and we begin to look at a world changer like Joseph, he's the picture of a perfect father, because the perfect father might have faults and failures, but the perfect father honors and loves the Lord so that he can honor and love his wife. And when he begins to honor and love his wife, he's going to go ahead and leave a legacy. He's going to leave a legacy to his family, to his children, that makes an incredible difference. So the first thing we see about Joseph is that he honored his wife. But the second thing that I want us to get is incredibly important, and it's why he was able to go ahead and honor his wife. And it's just found in verse number 24. It says this: "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Joseph followed God. The first thing that you see is that he followed the voice of God. It doesn't say that Joseph understood everything. It doesn't say that Joseph knew everything. It says this: Joseph followed God. What does that mean? It means that Joseph was more in tune with his heart to God than he was with his own physical desires and his own physical needs. I mean, if we just took a survey, and we can just kind of be honest in here this morning, right? Most guys sign up for marriage and you say, look, there's going to be this 9-month period where nothing is going to happen that you think is an active part of marriage and has to be out there. Most guys are going to say, wow, that's really not what I expected. Most guys are going to go ahead and say, not only did I not expect that, but here's another reality. I didn't expect to go ahead and be given the burden of taking care of the Son of God. I don't think that we understand how weighty that really is. I mean, think about that. Think about the stress and pressure. I mean, we as parents, whether we admit it or not, we worry about what people think about us, right? I mean, we go ahead and we're concerned how our kids act in school, not so much that they act the right way in school, but we want the parent or the principal or whoever's involved to think we're doing our job at home. We think it's going to be a reflection on us in some way, shape, or form. We could go into a host of other situations. Can you imagine the pressure that Joseph is feeling? Can you imagine the reality of knowing that he's got the Son of God and all the things that are going to unfold that he doesn't understand, all the things that he's trying to anticipate that he doesn't have an answer to, but he's still following the voice of God? Can you imagine Joseph going to work and talking to the guys, and the guys are like, wow, Joseph, Mary's kind of showing now, isn't she? You still sticking with that story? you still expect us to go ahead and believe this? If I were you, there's no way I would put up with that. I guarantee you it was taking place. I guarantee you it was unfolding all around him, continual pressure. But do you know what Joseph did? Joseph continued to listen to the voice of God. Over and over and over, what we see from Joseph is he's listening to the voice of God. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 13. Here's what the Bible says. It says, "Now when they had departed, Jesus has been born, the wise men have come, they've presented their gifts, and it says this: Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take thy young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek to destroy the young child. It says, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I have called my son." Verse number 19, it says, "Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, Take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life is dead. And here's what it says. Then he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. You know what we see in the life of Joseph? Over and over and over, he's listening to the voice of God. What an incredible response for all of us. Can I tell you something? That's not just a point for dads today. Dads, we would do well to go ahead and take that on our life. But all of us, listening to the voice of God, because there was things that Joseph was wrestling with, things that Joseph would have had placed in front of him, other voices that were competing for his heart and competing for his attention. And what does Joseph do? He followed the voice of God. He followed the scripture. Why? Because him following the scripture was a part of God's plan to fulfill the scripture. You see, sometimes we think it doesn't matter what we do or how we act, how we respond, but it point blank teaches us that Joseph followed the voice of God, and when he was following the voice of God, he was following the scripture and helping God fulfill his plan, not just for his life, but for the world. Following the voice of God is incredibly important. Following the scripture is unbelievably important. You see, it's not just for Joseph. It's for all of us. I love the story of a man by the name of Kenneth Taylor. Kenneth Taylor was an ordinary man in some aspects, but he had a tremendous heart for God. And at the time, he was working at Moody. He was trying to teach his children about the Bible, and he would begin to try and explain it, and he thought, you know what, some of these things, they're just not getting and they're not understanding. So back in the late 50s, he began to go ahead and just write out a devotional thought for him. And he began to take words that they couldn't understand from the Bible, and he began to break them down. He began to let his children read that, and they would discuss it, and they began to grow, and they began to learn. You see, he had something put on his heart by God to help his children become what God wanted them to become. So he painstakingly went through the scriptures and put it to where his children could get it. Originally, it was called the Living Letters. And people at Moody found out what he was doing, and they looked at it and they thought, well, it's maybe a decent idea, but we're not interested in doing anything else with it. So he went ahead and he had 2,000 copies of the Living Letters made. And one day, Billy Graham was in the hospital in 1960. And he began to read these Living Letters. And he said, you know what? This is the scripture. As basic as it can get, a child can go ahead and understand this. We need to make this available. Why? Because the people need the scriptures. And Billy Graham, that year, took and immediately ordered 50,000 copies of that. And that year alone, he distributed 600,000 copies of what we now call the Living Bible. Why did he do it? Because he felt it was incredibly important for people to be able to understand the scripture, to be able to understand the voice of God. Why? Because it matters. You see, Joseph followed the scripture. Joseph listened to the voice of God. The question is this, will we? Can I just ask you, dads, are you following the voice of God? Are you talking to him? Are you looking at the word of God so that you know what it says, so that you can pass that on? Because all of the things that we can go ahead and pass on are absolutely vital, and they're absolutely important. Today, my little girl is going to play in an all-star championship game. Dan Knoll heard that the game was supposed to take place early this morning, and he was kind of excited because he thought, I might go ahead and cut my sermon a little bit short because I might want to get there. I prayed for rain. It's been delayed several hours so I can deliver the whole thing. Isn't God good? You know what? I can teach her how to field a ball. I can teach her how to throw. I can teach her how to hit. But can I tell you something? There's going to come a day when she's no longer going to need those things. There's going to come a day when those things are no longer going to be important to her. And can I tell you something? There'll be a moment in her life where they won't be important to anyone else at all. But the Word of God will always have the answer. And the Word of God will always provide hope. And the Word of God will always provide help. And more importantly than anything else that I could pass along to her, is the truth of the scriptures, because that's what I'm called to do. In 2 Corinthians, and not as a pastor, as a father. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 3, here's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 2. It says, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart." Paul wrote and he said, look, we've passed the Bible along to you, and the most important thing is that you become a living word. The most important thing that I can give you as our spiritual children is the living word, so that you'll be known and read by the others around you. The most important thing that we can give our children is that heritage. Dads, I want to encourage you to honor your wife. I want to encourage you to go ahead and follow the voice of God. There's something else that Joseph did that we have to go ahead and step up on, and it's this. He protected his family. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 13, when he heard that Herod wanted to go ahead and hurt the one that had been entrusted to him, what did he do? He immediately packed up and left. When he came back, he heard that Archelaus reigned instead of his father. And he said, you know what? He's evil like his father. He's an enemy of God. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to protect my son, my family from evil. There was evil in the day of Joseph, and there's evil in our day. Can I tell you, it just looks a little bit different, but it's still evil. As dads, as Christ followers, we have an incredible responsibility to protect our families from evil. You see, for Joseph, evil was Herod. But let me ask you this. What evil are you protecting your family from? What evil are you protecting them from? How are you praying for them, for God to protect them from the evils in your life? You see, it would have been real easy for Joseph to say, you know what, I'm not going to listen to the voice of God. I'm not going to listen to the word of God. I think I can handle this. I think I can take care of it on my own. I'm a pretty smart guy. I'm a pretty good builder. I think I've got this. But that's not what Joseph said. Joseph said, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to follow the voice of God. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to follow his direction. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to protect the family that I love. I'm going to protect them from evil. What evil are you protecting your family from? What evil are you protecting your children from? It's piped into our homes and into our lives more than ever before. They're exposed to it in so many different places and situations where we are not. But it starts with our relationship with God so that we can honor our wife. It starts with our relationship with God so that we can follow him. It starts with our relationship with God so that we can go ahead and protect our family, so that we can help protect them from evil. We are surrounded by evil continually. Some of us think about evil in the form of a terroristic religion or faith. Some of us think about evil on things that we can go ahead and look at on the internet or our phone or whatever. Others think about evil in just the way evil seems to have invaded every aspect of our culture and society, and how we see the heart of man changing and how we see God being sidelined even more in our culture. Can I tell you this? There's a lot of evil in our world, and we have the responsibility to protect our families from evil. So dads, what are you doing to protect your family from evil? You see, there's a quote that I'm going to give to you. And it's from a man that a lot of people would not expect to go ahead and give. But we see it played out in the life of Joseph. And it's 110% biblical, because it's a picture of who God is and what God does in our life. But I want you to listen to this. It says, I cannot think of any need in childhood as strong as the need for a father's protection. Did you hear that, dads? I want to go ahead and say it again. I cannot think of any need in childhood as strong as the need for a father's protection. Do you know who said that? Sigmund Freud. You go ahead and read psychology, and Sigmund Freud was anything but a man of wisdom. Some of you that have read him and studied him are smiling and laughing. And you're going, wow, did Freud really say that? Yes, yes, he did. He said the greatest need in a child's life is to know that their father will protect them. Do you know that's one of the things that we celebrate about God, is that he gave his very best so that we could know him and have an eternal relationship with him? That because he gave his very best, we're eternally secure, and nothing can ultimately eternally harm us. Our families need our protection. How do we protect them? We pray for them. We live out the right example. We stay involved in their life so that we know what is going on. I think there's one last thing that we need to learn from Joseph's life. It's this: he worshiped with them. He worshiped with them. One of the first things that we see Joseph do is he went to worship with his family. Luke chapter 22, or chapter 2, verse number 22. Here's a description that we get. It says, now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So first thing they did is they went to present him unto the Lord. It was a moment of worship. It was a time of worship. Well, we go down to verse number 39. Verse number 39, one of the things that we're going to see described again is this. It says, so when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit. He was growing in who he was. Why? Because Joseph was making worship a priority. When we find Jesus, we find that Jesus was often in the temple. Why? Because of an example that came from his earliest days. You see, Joseph was with them. His family had the presence of Joseph. His family had the heart of Joseph. His love was focused on God and focused on his family. Joseph had faults and failures. And quite honestly, we don't read a lot about him. But what we do know about him is this. He honored his wife. Can't tell you how important that is, dads, husbands. He followed the voice of God. That's an incredible truth for all of us. He protected his family. And he worshiped with them. God was a priority in his life. Dads, would you please lead in that area? Would you please say, worship's going to be a priority in our family? Most of churches today market to the women, and they have for years and years and years. Because more often than not, dad's the one that says, mom will take you, you guys go, I'll stay behind. I've got things to do. Dads, worship with them. Lead in that area. Don't leave it to someone else. Go ahead and step forward and do that. Honor your wife. Follow the voice of God. Protect them and worship with them. How was Joseph able to do it? Because what a man is what he does. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? In just a moment, we're going to have a time where we can go ahead and reflect. And the most important thing that we have today is that we know Christ as our Savior. Maybe today there's never been a time in your life where you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. But today, as we celebrate Father's Day, you can know what it's like to have a Heavenly Father by simply putting your faith and trust in Him. Maybe today you've never done that, but you would like to do that. In a moment, we'll stand together and sing. And maybe today, you would just like to make Jesus your Savior. Just like to go ahead and allow Him to be your Heavenly Father. If that's you and you'd like to know how to do that, the moment we begin to sing, just leave your place and come. Someone will be right here and they'll pray with you. They'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for certain. Maybe you're here today and you would say, John, what you said spoke to my heart, and I just need to come and pray. I need to be a dad that honors his wife. I need to be a dad that follows the voice of God. I need to be one that protects my family. I need to protect them from evil. I need to go ahead and make certain I worship with them. But whatever your need might be, I would just encourage you just to leave your place and come and pray and say, Lord, help me to do that. Maybe you're here today you've got another need in your life. Whatever it might be, I encourage you to come. Some are being baptized in just a little bit after our service today. And I want to encourage you to come if you're being baptized. During the invitation time, just bring your things with you if you'd like to go ahead and do that. And you can just kind of meet me right down front and we'll go through that aspect of it. We'll let you share your faith with church family in just a moment. Then we'll head over for baptism in just a little bit. Whatever your need might be today, as the Lord speaks to you, I invite you to just step out and come. Would you stand with me, please?